broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Welcome as we take a little bit of a stroll through the looking glass here of media and talk radio, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio shows where reality is our bitch. California is banning televisions that consume too much energy, and we're going to be talking with Lee Rollhouse from the National Bureau of Audio and Video Engineers. Obama predicts Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be convicted. Was this a screw-up on the part of the president in terms of a president of the United States? Possibly polluting a jury pool by making a statement like that. And Johnny Depp is the sexiest man alive, if you didn't know. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We also have news for you on the Sarah Palin book tour, which is just going great guns, you know. But first off, as we start the program, I thought the story here was quite interesting from our state here in California, but I think it obviously is going to affect the rest of the country. If this works here, you know how it goes. Let me apologize first for all the bad ideas that have ever come out of California and any good ideas that have come out of California. From Sacramento, though, power-hungry TVs. You know your big-screen TV?
Yeah, the one I got one.
Well, they're going to be banned from store shelves in California after state regulators on Wednesday adopted a first-in-the-nation mandate. They're not going to ban big-screen TVs, but really power-hungry television sets, and those are the TV sets with these screens up to 58 inches. And Lee Rollhouse with this with the National Bureau of Audio and Video Engineers joins us. Lee, have I got that right? In other words, if it's a big-screen TV, it's going to be banned?
The idea is to ban any television that's going to be consuming an inordinate amount of energy, and most of the big-screen TVs that you're seeing out there right now are consuming probably somewhere in the neighborhood of up to 8% more, and you've got television sets. The thing to remember is that a TV accounts for about 10% of a home's electricity use. Our concern with our organization and the government's concern is that the energy draw will rise by as much as 8% a year as people start buying bigger TVs.
And it says on a unanimous vote, the California Energy Commission required all new televisions up to 58 inches to be more energy efficient beginning in 2011. Is that where it's going to stand, just a more energy efficient TV?
Well, the requirement's going to be tougher in 2013 with only, a quarter of all television sets right now that are currently on the market meet that standard. Mr. Henry, so with the standard getting tougher in 2013, there's going to have to be a retooling of the industry standards.
Well, I want to get into that, but I want to just get the I just want to get the lay of the land on this thing. And our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL. If you have a question, we're going to get the phone calls in our next segment. But the question that I have for you is, you say the TV's larger than 58 inches. How many do they sell? Do you know?
Well, if you could repeat that question.
How many of these TVs that are larger than 58 inches, what is the percentage of those that are sold?
Well, there's more than, not really much higher than 3% of the market, Phil.
3%, that's it?
That's correct. They wouldn't be covered by the rule. It's a concession to independent retailers that sell these high-end home theater TVs, but they will be regulated in the future. All the new television sets that are going to be up to 58 inches have got to come under these standards. And so, that's the give and the take of this business. The environmental groups are supporting the tougher standards. Our organization supports these tougher standards.
And you do?
Yes, we do.
Why is that?
Well, we hope that they're going to prompt manufacturers to make new energy-efficient models for the rest of the country. These rules are going to cut California's power bill by $1 billion a year. They're going to avoid the need to build a 500-megawatt power plant, which is very expensive. And I know a lot of these people say that many of the manufacturers say this is going to limit the consumer's choice and harm California retailers because consumers could buy their TVs out of state. But I would say that these regulations are going to go nationwide, so If people think they're going to buy their TVs out of state and get around the regulation that way, it's not going to happen. What we're advocating, Bill, our organization, is a mandatory reduction in television viewing, not mandatory, a voluntary, to avoid a mandatory reduction in the availability of channels.
All right, there's a lot of stuff that you're saying here, so let's go through it one at a time. First of all, television sets up to 58 inches. This is the state of California. And the reason why we're mentioning this, folks, is as you know, when California passes some kind of a law that seems to make sense or begins to work for a state this size, other states follow suit. California, with TV sets up to 58 inches, these televisions have got to be more energy efficient.
That is correct, yes.
And then we have the regulation of 58-inch TVs and bigger. Eventually, that'll be coming.
Within the next couple of years, by 2013, I think you're going to see mandatory regulation of the energy consumption of those television sets as well.
So all of this pointing toward using less energy. Your organization advocates using the TV less?
Yes, we do, because, first of all, the idea that the government will mandatory regulate the number of channels available speaks to less television viewing. And the reason why they want less television viewing is to lessen the energy consumption if these standards don't work. Given the fact that people are going to be buying bigger and bigger television sets, and when I gave you that statistic, Phil, of 10% of a home's electricity, that's quite a bit of electricity. And we're afraid that these standards that are being set are just not going to get it done. And so we have asked the government, we've interceded, our group and a number of other trade organizations, that this become voluntary.
That people voluntarily just watch less television.
That's correct. And we've given examples, and through our trade organization, other trade organizations, of the kinds of channels to watch to expand your viewing experience, to see television that perhaps you haven't seen before. And that would be CNN, BetTV. There are a couple of other channels we've got here, the Green Channel, Bird TV. We've got a flyer. This is attached to the information we mail out to homes, Logo TV, PBS.
Now, why these channels?
Well, we think that these channels are not viewed as much as the other channels, and so it puts these channels on a fair playing field. As opposed to those other channels that have dominated the airwaves.
You've mentioned what channels? Now, CNN, MSNBC.
CNN, MSNBC, Rain Channel, Current TV, Logo, PBS, and BET.
Now, all of those channels, one could argue, are liberal or progressive channels. So why would you say to people voluntarily limit your television viewing to those channels and others like them? Are you trying to prop up the president or his particular ideological view when it comes to the environment?
Well, I think it does give us a better opportunity to get the president's message out.
But your organization is nonpartisan.
We're completely nonpartisan. We don't have as the saying goes, a dog in the hunt. But we need to continually monitor the kind of television viewing that we watch so that the president's message can get out there a little bit better. Right now...
Why not say to people, if we have to limit our TV viewing because of the energy involved in watching these big screen televisions or what have you, why not say, watch Fox TV 2 or watch any of these other channels?
Well, Fox Television has got a lion's share of the audience right now. I don't think they need any more people to watch them. And so I think it's time that people watch these other channels. And with mandatory government restriction coming, we're trying to get ahead of the ball and tell people that before the government mandatorily restricts the number of channels that are available, that you voluntarily switch over to these channels to watch these different channels.
But being nonpartisan, I have to ask you, Lee, why does you keep talking about these channels and you say to me that you want the president's message to get out there?
No, we think it's a better opportunity for President Obama's message on the environment as well as on the public policy regarding the domestic or international affairs to get out there. That's right. But we're not a partisan organization at all. We just want to see people watch these other channels because Fox Television, the other channels, TBS or some of the channels that show a lot of war movies and show a more conservative viewpoint, have already got plenty of viewers. And
but you're nonpartisan, but you want them to watch. All right, I mean, you know,
it's all part of people voluntarily. We're asking people to voluntarily watch these channels, PBS, BET, the Green Channel, Current, MSNBC, before the government mandates come down the pike.
We're talking here with Lee Rolhaus. He's with the National Audio Video Engineer Bureau. It's a trade organization of television and obviously television radio engineers, who are talking about the California Energy Commission that has unanimously voted to require all new television sets up to 58 inches be more energy efficient beginning in 2011. And after 2011, they're going to be demanding more energy efficient TVs that are 58 inches and larger, even though they don't account for much in terms of actual sales, less than 3%.
Less than 3%, but like any automobile, you know, that's guzzling a lot of gasoline, these televisions, even though it's a very small portion of the market, Phil, these televisions do use a lot of energy. The best way to go before the government steps in and begins to limit the number of channels available, which would mean a limited amount of television to watch, is to show a good faith effort, consumers showing the government that they're making the effort at watching less television and watching these channels, that will, I think, get the president's message out.
Are you asking people to watch CNN, MSNBC, the Green Channel, and so forth, so that the government will see that people are watching the kinds of channels they should watch and will not implement these mandates?
Well, that is a consideration, and we've talked about that in some of the meetings that we've had with industry executives and also some government representatives. We don't want the government coming in and mandating fewer channels. If we can show the government that the American people are making a good faith effort at watching channels that cover the president more favorably, we may be able to avoid that.
All right, we're talking with Lee Rolhaus here from the National Audio Video Engineers Bureau. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The California Energy Commission is now requiring all new television sets after 2011 be more energy efficient. 58-inch TVs on up be more energy efficient after 2013. It's going to be an effort to conserve energy. And he's talking about efforts to conserve energy having to do with watching less television. The government may step in and mandate fewer channels. And Lee's organization is recommending that people begin to watch channels that are more friendly toward President Obama's message so that the government not step in and make this mandatory. A good faith effort is what he's calling it. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Lee Rolhaus on the California TV energy requirements right after this.
Phil Hendry.
I got a cup of goat's milk. Just goat's milk. That's all I like.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're discussing a kind of interesting question here in the state of California, where the California Energy Commission today required that all new television sets up to 58 inches be more energy efficient. Televisions require or account for about 10%, according to Lee Rolhaus, our guest, 10% of a home's electricity use. And the energy draw is going to rise by as much as 8% a year as consumers buy larger televisions. And Lee, you're telling us that for the most part, people need to voluntarily limit their TV viewing, but also limit to the kinds of TV shows and channels they watch.
Yeah, because what we're trying to avoid is having the government, the FCC, and the Department of Commerce, Department of Energy, we're trying to avoid, you know, them mandating fewer channels and putting those channels in the hands of the government. Right now, what we're telling people, watch the channels that are going to present President Obama's view more fairly, and that's the black television, BET TV.
You mean BET?
It's BET, yes, and PBS, Logo.
Well, now, what is Logo?
Logo is a gay network, shows the everyday lifestyle. It's an educational channel.
Current TV is Al Gore's TV?
No, it's not necessarily. I think it was founded by Al Gore, but it's a lot of people who create their own kind of television, the Green Channel and so forth. And if we can get people to voluntarily do this, Phil, is what I'm saying, we can get people, we can keep the government from eventually stepping in and controlling which channels we watch.
877-876-PHIL is the number here in the Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to a phone call right now. And this is Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lee Rollhouse. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you folks are talking about limiting the channels to watch to show that you're using reduced television usage. As I recall, they tried to do something like that back in Nazi Germany by limiting the books that you could read. Our country is based on freedom and freedom of everything.
Right.
And if you start limiting the channels people can watch and telling people what books they can read, that is not America. That is not American, and I don't believe that's President Obama's message.
We're not saying, first of all, television was invented. We didn't used to have television. If we didn't have television, there wouldn't be a problem like what you're saying. So I don't know that you have a right to watch TV, but you certainly have a right to information. I agree with the gentleman there.
But
you make a mistake. Nazi Germany did not have television. It was the 1930s.
No, sir, but they did burn books.
You misstated what you were saying there.
No, but he's saying that they burned books.
They burned books. They weren't allowed to read.
He also mentioned television.
Give you the correct message. You say if we watch the right channels, we'll get the president's message correctly.
I want to make sure eliminating
channels, and you want people to watch channels that deliver a message that they want people to hear, rather than watching channels that give the message people don't want to hear.
Well, only a good faith effort to show the government that people are listening to the president's message.
What does watching the logo channel though have to do with the president's message? That's a gay channel.
That's a liberal channel. You're absolutely right. It doesn't have anything to do with the president.
When I watch television, I watch movies. Uh-huh. I pay $130 a month for cable television. I live in Anchorage, Alaska, television's limited. We have four local stations. I watch movies. Outside of that, I watch the National Geographic Channel. I watch the Discovery Channel. I watch the Sci-Fi Channel. Occasionally, I watch the news. But the news has become so...
Channels are what we're concerned with more than anything else.
Why?
Well, the movie channels are what are considered to be by some superfluous kinds of programming.
So what you're truly saying is that a book that's meant for entertainment purposes, for example,
You've talked about the books. I'm not talking about books at all.
You said Nazi Germany had television.
I had to correct you.
This gentleman never said that Nazi Germany had television. He never said that.
No.
Nazi Germany burned
books that were considered unacceptable because they gave the wrong message. My wife reads a book every two or three days. I don't read the book. I watch the movie on TV. And you're telling me...
Right.
And you're telling everybody
well,
that, else.
See, that's
that watching
the same thing as burning
watching
a book.
Wait,
why do you say that's the same thing as burning a book?
Well, if he's only watching a movie but not reading a book.
Because Lee said that you watching the movie instead of reading the book is like burning the book, and I'm asking Lee, why do you say that?
Well, because I think that if you watch the book instead of reading the movie, you're burning the movie. And
you mean burning the book?
He's burning the book.
Sir, you got so much hotter.
That's what you're doing.
You should be a steam engine.
No,
if you believe in books,
why aren't you reading them instead of watching the movie?
I read books for knowledge. I watch movies for entertainment.
But you said you read the book
for knowledge, and I watch movies for entertainment.
Which books do you burn?
I don't.
He's not burning books. He doesn't burn any books.
In the past, they have burned books to eliminate the possibility of people getting a message that the government did not want them to hear.
Right, I see. That, and I understand what this gentleman's saying. Thank you, sir, very much. It's a good point. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Lee Rollhouse on the possibility that the government might mandate the limit the number of channels we're watching because of the energy consumption of television. Should we be watching channels friendly to President Obama to keep that from happening? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You completely cut me off. He said that the Nazis had the wide world.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is our number. If you'd like to watch us on live streaming video or listen to us on live streaming audio, you can do that at philhendryshow.com. And on that channel, on that website, I should say, is where we have the audio and video of our show. You can watch the show. We've got a camera running right now into our studio, as well as listen to it if you're not near an affiliate, of course. And you can download the audio of the show the following day at philhendryshow.com. With us is Lee Rollhouse from the National Bureau of Audio and Video Engineers. We're talking about the California Energy Commission's decision to limit energy use, to limit television consumption of energy, because it's going to be rising at the clip of 8% a year. And a lot of that, Lee, in your mind, has to do, of course, with TV viewing. What about the fact that we can address this problem through, and we're going to get to some phone calls, but I just want you to answer this one question. How about addressing this problem exclusively through the technology, that is, making the TVs more energy efficient?
Well, you know, Phil, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I've advocated for a long time that televisions become more energy efficient so the government keeps its hands off of the TV viewing of people. That'll work for programs like football and baseball and sports because the government recognizes that the people need that kind of programming. It's escapist and it's acceptably escapist programming. And you're going to want to have the big screen TVs for that. But you need to conserve the energy that people are going to use for that kind of TV viewing. So how do you do that? Well, you can't do it entirely with technology. You have to do it with limiting the viewing. And the way to limit viewing is to limit your viewing to these channels like this gentleman that I spoke with a moment ago talked about the Science Channel. That's a channel that endorses the idea that of evolution and also endorses the global warming ideas. And these are ideas that former Vice President Gore supports, and once the former Vice President recognizes the American people are educating themselves, watching his channel and the Science Channel, then his communications with President Obama will be very positive. And I'd say he'll give a big thumbs up on not mandating the... Otherwise, people are going to not be able to watch these channels they want to watch, and we don't want to see that happen.
Well, like the guy said, it sounds very Orwellian to me.
It's not Orwellian. It's just, you know, let President Obama get his say in. And people are watching Fox TV far too much, probably. And if you looked at it objectively, I'm sure you'd all agree. Even people who watch Fox TV would agree they watch too much of Fox TV, and they should watch more of the logo channel and the channels that will not promote, but will show you the gay lifestyles and the lifestyle of the minorities. And of course, National Geographic shows you African and Asian bush people. And so you get a better idea of how much more people suffer, and we've got it pretty good in this country.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here, 877-876-PHIL. Back to a phone call. This is Robert listening to us in Houston. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lee Rollhouse. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
No disrespect to your guest. My concern is the agenda. The agenda. I mean, no disrespect, but this sounds like a load of crap. It really does. I mean, when you start trying to decide what channels and what people can watch, where does it end? Where does it end?
Right. I think it's a very good question. I think it's a very good question. Here's what I think can happen.
It never will.
Well, here's what I think can happen. If we voluntarily watch Logo and BET or Becker and and Obama and Gore are satisfied that we're watching the message that they want, then they will.
I don't care if
get together and say it's okay for you to watch. No one's talking about limiting. No one's talking about limiting football or baseball if that's what your concern is.
I don't think that's the gentleman's concern.
I don't care what they want me to watch.
No one's going to limit hockey. They're not limiting hockey. They're not limiting baseball. They're just saying if you've watched the Logo Channel, it may be something that you enjoy. I don't know.
Well, I watch everything. National Geographic,
right.
Sports. I watch everything.
But that's my choice.
That's my decision. You can't tell people what you've brought up Fox numerous times, and their views, their agenda. I really believe people have watched a lot of that.
Have you ever watched Queer as Folk or The L Word? Have you watched those shows at all?
What is the show?
I was asking the gentleman if he's ever watched Queer as Folk or The L Word.
Queer as Folk? No, those are gay.
Episodic television. Yes.
Yes, we watched it right. Yeah, we watched it right with the Sopranos. It was our.
There you are.
Yeah, we watched that.
Yeah, we watched that stuff.
But it's our choice. But my problem is, I see a pattern here. I believe that they're using the energy so-called crisis as a conduit to control what people are going to watch. And once you start doing that, where does it end?
Where does it end?
I'm sorry?
Well, again, we're a nonpartisan trade organization, sir.
You've said that, but you don't sound like it.
Well, what we're trying to do is, you're saying that people are watching too much Fox,
and you're stressing the point that people need to hear Al Gore and Obama's message. People don't need anything.
They're in touch with each other, you know.
Al Gore and Obama
are in touch with each other, and they will compare notes. And if they find out, for instance, that you, sir, are watching hockey or watching some movie about the Alamo, that is going to go into the equation as to whether or not they decide to limit your TV.
It's none of their business.
It's none of their business.
Yeah. What has that got to do with whether or not this guy? What is Al Gore? He's not even in the government anymore.
Well, Al Gore is in touch with the president. We just prefer that you voluntarily give up Fox News and watch Current and MSNBC, so that Al Gore and other members of the global energy swath can be satisfied.
This is just like a liberal, you guys are making it sound like it's the brave new world thing.
Well, it sounds that way to us. Yeah,
please.
When you're saying I got to make
please.
Al Gore happy.
I think
you're taking it out of context.
This is just like when a liberal reporter is interviewing a conservative politician or view, and they cut him off. They turn the mic off.
All we're trying to do is redistribute viewers from Fox to more agreeable networks like MSNBC, and I don't see a problem with that. I'm sure that if you thought about it, you wouldn't either.
All right, well, listen, sir, I thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I hope you're understanding what these callers are saying, Lee, that it sounds like they don't get to watch the kind of TV they want to watch.
Well, no, they don't get to watch the kind of TV. They don't get to watch the kind of TV they want to watch right now, and I'll give you an example of that, Phil. I'm sure a lot of men listening to you right now would like to see, you know, these adult movies. Well, they don't get to see those adult movies unless they pay a steep monthly fee, and they're not watching it with their child. So they don't. You see how it's limited? We're just saying let's limit it to the point where Obama and Gore and those that Obama consults with on a daily basis, if you watch Queer as Folk and you watch the lesbian programming, you're going to get a better chance at not having the government just take the television sets out of your house, because that's the last step if the energy usage is not acceptable.
Take the TVs out of our houses?
Not literally, but there won't be any programming. You'll have a box in the living room that you're looking at.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Steve. Steve, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Lee Rollhouse. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
He's telling sounds more like he is a government employee than he is an independent. You know,
no, sir.
Let me finish first. You've interrupted every person that's called in so far.
Well, the one guy said the Nazis had television. I had to correct that.
Well, you can correct me after I finish. If you'll hush, I'll speak, and you can speak.
I apologize.
The government taking over my television is speaks of Nazism. Now, I don't think the government should control what I watch as long as I'm paying for what I watch. I don't want to watch the lesbian channel or the homosexual channel or the black channel. I choose not to watch those. I don't want to.
Yes, sir.
Now, what I watch is nobody's business in my own home, as long as it's something that I'm paying for through Dish Network or cable. Now, what you're talking about with Al Gore and Obama wanting to know what I watch, it's like the other gentleman said, it's none of their business what I'm watching. It's not interfering with anything.
You know they're tracking what you watch right now. You know that. Not very difficult. If you were watching more acceptable programming like a lesbian show or a show
acceptable
that believes in abortion,
acceptable to who?
Acceptable to the political viewpoint of President Obama, he would be more open to allowing you to watch more shows.
I
understand you don't.
And I don't agree with it.
I understand that.
Obama likes
energy consumption problem. And what do we do? How do we control the energy used by these TVs? Well, you can improve the technology, but that's not going to happen as fast as we want. So if we would voluntarily watch CNN, and Fox Television has enough viewers, they don't need any more.
That's a backdoor way of watching propaganda is what it is, and that's what you're purporting to do. It's a backdoor way of forcing us to watch propaganda. That's what you're trying to get us to do.
You use the term backdoor,
you are as guilty as
Obama the lesbian channel.
And the other people.
No, sir. No, we are a nonpartisan organization. Look, Discovery Health is a pro-health care. No, sir. Discovery Health is a pro-health care, pro-choice channel. If you watch that channel, the input that Gore gives to Obama is positive on your home. And that translates into you having more time to watch whatever it is you watch, ball hockey or fishing or. But if he does not have that information, then you have to have your programming choices limited. That's all we're trying to say.
Yeah, but you're not hearing what the people are saying here.
Well, then you don't get to watch ball. Then you don't get to watch ball hockey.
Phil, he has his own agenda.
What?
What
do you mean ball?
I care what other people think.
I do care. But I'm a nonpartisan representative of an organization that's trying to give you. I can ask you this question. Do you watch ball hockey?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'll write that down. I thought for sure you did.
Why would you think that?
All right, look.
Based on what I have seen, what gives you that opinion?
You sound like the kind of man that would be able to understand that sport.
I didn't say I didn't understand it. You didn't ask me that question. You asked if I watched it, and my answer was no. Do I understand it? Of course I do.
You understand ball hockey?
I have a doctorate degree. I understand a lot of it, sure. I've watched it before. I don't currently watch it.
What is ball hockey? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, I'll give you another question. Have you watched Discovery Health's series on abortion?
No. I have a stand on abortion based on my religious beliefs.
that wipes out. But the positive that you just said about ball hockey is wiped out by abortion.
Well, I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all.
I said the positive in that you do understand ball hockey was just wiped out by the fact that you don't watch the abortion channel. You see what I mean? This is what I mean.
How could you come up with that?
Al Gore, because abortion is the, you know, that's the stand, my understanding of liberals, that they believe in it. And if you said you did watch the abortion channel, that would go down as a plus. But when you said no, the plus was that you did watch ball hockey. For you. You watch ball hockey, that's a plus. You don't watch the abortion channel.
What? Wait, hold on. What is the abortion channel?
It's a new channel that is being endorsed by Gore and his wife.
What?
And his wife,
Why
Tipper?
Why is it necessary that I have pluses
right.
in my...
I got it.
Because we are trying
Why
to
is
say
it necessary
your
that
TV
I have a
viewing.
Plus or a minus?
Because if you have a too many minuses, then that adds up to the government mandating limiting your TV viewing. So you don't get to watch what you want to watch, regardless of what you say.
Well, that's what we've been talking about, and that the government would step in and mandate and limit the number of channels that people are watching because they don't watch the abortion channel.
I like the gentleman's laughing. I'm glad that he's laughing. I really am.
I'm laughing because you're so ridiculous. You are totally ridiculous.
And
yes,
then
you
missed the article today.
You're telling me that I have to watch the government channels or they're going to limit to me what I watch.
It's
the same thing.
Do you watch the comedy stand-up specials? Do you watch the comedy stand-up specials on black TV?
No.
No, you don't, do you? Okay. That's,
no.
I mean, all you're doing is digging the hole deeper and deeper.
Well, all right. So, in other words, if a guy doesn't watch the approved channels like the one for Al Gore. Hey, Lee, thanks. Or not Lee. The gentleman we're talking to right now is Steve. Steve, thanks so much. If a guy doesn't watch a stand-up comedy on...
I'm nonpartisan, Phil.
You said that. But if you don't watch stand-up comedy on BET and you don't watch the abortion channel, which I didn't know even though there was one...
Yeah, it's being proposed by a consortium. There's different science channels have gotten together for the abortion channel. And different channels. I'm saying to the people listening to your program, you might as well start watching these channels so that Obama will get some sense that you are listening to him and not just hanging around Fox TV all day long, soaking up all of their nonsense. That's, you know, the way Obama would put it. So soak up something from the lesbian shows and the abortion channels, and we've got a fighting chance to save television.
Well, we've gone a long way from limiting the energy the TVs consume. Now we're talking about watching the abortion channel and ball hockey and...
No, you mean ball hockey. You meant abortion channel and black comedy.
Ball hockey, the abortion channel, and black comedy, and maybe then we'll save TV.
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
No, I didn't say ball hockey. He did.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to go to another phone call. You mentioned something, the abortion channel.
That is correct, yeah.
And this is a new channel?
It's a channel that shows what they would call the positive effects of having an abortion. It shows a woman. It talks about how traumatic it is, yes, but then it shows the other side, which is a woman dancing and having dinner with her husband and sailing and hunting and doing things that women like to do after she's had this procedure. And so it's more of a positive view, and the Al Gore and Nancy Pelosi have gotten together to review the viewership of this. I would suggest people go and call their cable provider and request the abortion channel so that they're covered, so that when the government looks at viewing habits, they'll know that, all right, people are watching this channel, and we can click that off.
All right, I got to go remote. Jessica in Worcester, Massachusetts. Jessica, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Lee Rollhouse.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good, ma'am.
I'm wondering, have you not figured out that this guy is a fraud? He is.
Well, you know what? I want to ask you right up front here, Lee. Are you joking about this?
You can call my organization, and if you think I'm joking, I'm getting paid.
Funded. I'm getting paid $150,000.
Excuse me, ma'am. You called me a fraud, and I want to respond to that. I get paid $150,000 a year to carry the message of our trade organization across the country. I'm trying to get consumers alerted to the fact that Obama and Gore want a kind of viewing habit that is going to, if we don't voluntarily do this, they're going to do it for us.
Okay. That is absolutely incorrect. I've worked in television. There is no way that Obama and Gore or whoever you
We're
think
out of time.
Is going to do this.
We're out of time. We're all out of time.
Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Well, I think the real scientific tragedy of the ClimateGate email affair.
It's been in the press over and over again that this president has received far more death threats.
Instead of joining us on the right side of history, all
the health committee bill in the Senate was a total Democrat bill.
Right on, boys. Definitely going to wonder who the Canadians are from here on out, that's for sure.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And every night, it's Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass of media. This hour, protesters take to the streets of New York to protest the coming terror trials in the city of New York, as opposed to them being in a military tribunal type setting. Reminder that we're on our website with live streaming video as well as live streaming audio every night at philhendryshow.com. If you want to watch us do the show as well as listen to the show, you can take it over there.
Yeah, take your ass over there.
Man.
What?
What do you mean take your ass over? Just take it over there and you'll enjoy it. Also, at twitter.com/philhendryshow, it's a staff-operated Twitter site, so Jace and, Bud and Robert and all the guys are over there. And you can also, of course, go to Facebook and, hang with us over at Facebook at facebook.com/Phil Hendry. Now, I have this story here. Protesters slam holding 9/11 trial in New York. Coming up in just a moment here, we're going to have Don Berman from Channel 19 News in Los Angeles. He is an Emmy Award-winning news man. And is going to give us a little bit of, sort of background on this in terms of the story itself. Because my understanding is there seems to be some sort of, I don't know, controversy concerning crowds, crowd size, etc. But the story goes along these lines. Several hundred people rallied in the rain near Manhattan's federal courthouse complex to protest the plan to put major terrorism suspects on trial in New York. Some estimates were up to 1,500 people. The Attorney General Eric Holder announced that the U.S. would put Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay Prison on trial in federal civilian court in New York City. Anger at the Obama administration ran hot in the crowd. One person held up a sign calling Holder disgraceful and despicable. Another sign said, Obama Holder, jihad from within. That's some pretty powerful stuff. 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman joining us from do we have him?
I'm trying to find
Well, when we get him on the line, okay. Anyway, Don Berman is going to join us from the newsroom there at Channel 19 News to give us an idea as to how they are reporting the story over there and what they think about the story in general. We got Don on the line right now. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thanks for having us on.
Don, the story, as I said, you heard a little bit of it. Protesters slam holding 9/11 trial in New York City. They're calling Holder and Obama, Obama Holder, jihad from within. Supporters
of the 9/11 Never Forget Coalition say the five defendants should face a military tribunal instead. And there was a statement of support for the rally posted on the coalition's website. It was signed by actor Robert Duvall, Brian Dennehy, John Voight, Danny Aiello, Robert Davi, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and others. How are you guys viewing this in the news business? From what standpoint, how are you writing about this? Is this a grassroots movement that's going to get bigger as the trial commences?
Well, let me tell you where this story really is so that your audience has some perspective. This is not a story at all. Today on Fox Television News, Sean Hannity was caught once again with his hand in the cookie jar, in the proverbial cookie jar, as he showed another piece of videotape that was not from the rally in New York City in front of the courthouse. It was from some other rally, from some other file, some file tape that they found, as Hannity has done before. And he showed a crowd purported to be 2,000 or 3,000 people. And as a reporter and as a newsman, and I anchor three newscasts a day, and I have won Emmys, and I don't say that to say that I think I'm something special, but Sean Hannity is not a newsman, he's a news commentator, and for him to put up fake, phony footage showing supposedly 3,000 people at a rally, or 1,500, or whatever he said it was, when they weren't there, I think is despicable. And I put a call into Fox News to tell them so, and also to tell them that if that's the kind of man that they have hosting on their network, then they might as well hire me, because at least I have a video on my television program, on our 10, our 11, or our noon report, which is actual and real and factual, and is not concocted, dummied up, and put together with spit and gum. Now, this was the message that I left with Roger Ailes at Fox News.
No, hold on for a minute. You say that Sean Hannity had a piece of video today.
Yes, today. He was saying that there were 1,500 or 2,000 people in front of a courthouse in New York protesting the fact that the terror trials would be held in New York, and he did this with a straight face. He did this without cracking a smile, without winking at the camera, without doing anything that you would that would give you the sign, some sort of a sign that, oh, thank God, I know he's just kidding.
And well, what would make you think that Sean Hannity's going to kid about anything? I mean, when he does news and he does information and he does opinion, he does it very seriously. So obviously, you're accusing him of trying to put one over on the audience.
Well, if that's the case, if he wasn't kidding, then yes, that's exactly what I'm accusing him of.
Well, all right, so how do you know that this tape or this film footage or whatever it was...
It was videotape of some other rally. For all I know, it was some book signing by... It could have been a book signing for Sarah Palin, for all I know. I don't know what it was.
All right, how do you know?
How do I know what?
How do you know that that was not actual video of 2,000 people in Foley Square in New York... Four blocks from where the terror attacks took place.
Because there, how do I know that that isn't true?
Yes.
Phil, let me tell you something. I am an Emmy Award-winning news anchor. And when I tell you that there is no way in the year 2009 that you're going to get 2,000 or 1,500 people into Foley Square in New York for some kind of a protest having to do with something that was 8 years ago, and I'm not belittling 9/11. I'm not belittling for a moment the sacrifices and the terrible tragedy. But there's no way on a rainy day in New York you get 1,500 people.
So your opinion is based upon
1,500 people in the Foley Square in New York on a rainy day. It ain't gonna happen.
Your opinion then. Is based upon...
It's me. It's not my opinion. It ain't... I'm telling you, it didn't happen.
Wait a minute. You're saying... How do you know it didn't happen?
How do I know? Phil, how do you know that rain comes from the sky? Because there it is. It's coming down, right? How do I know that 2,000 people weren't in Foley Square protesting the terror trial? Because it's New York City on a rainy day. in the year 2009. That's how I know.
You're telling me there's no way that 2,000 people would come out to protest these terror trials being held in New York. Why?
There's no way it's going to happen. This was 9 years. Do you understand that the country is trying to move past this? The terror trials, we're not trying to move past 9/11. We're not trying to move past understanding that terrible tragedy. But we are moving past it in another sense that it's impossible. I'm telling you right now, it's impossible.
Don, you're basing this on opinion.
I'm not basing anything on opinion. My understanding was I was told by my assistant that I would be on your program to answer questions pursuant to the terror trials. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But why am I involved in an argument with you within the first 15 minutes?
I apologize. I apologize for my tone.
Thank you.
I am asking you, what do you base your opinion?
And I'm telling you it's not my opinion. And I'm telling you that there's no way in, and forgive my language, there's no way in hell, there's no way in Satan's own hell that 1,500 people go out to Foley Square or anywhere else for that matter in New York on a rainy day in the year 2009 to start screaming about something that happened 8 years ago, even though, yes, it was 9/11, and that's bad, but it's not bad enough to get a crowd out there the size that this guy Hannity claims there was. I'm telling you, it didn't happen.
All right, so you saw the videotape today.
Yeah, it was clearly dullied up. People don't care about 9/11 the way they used to. Let me explain this. It doesn't inspire us the way it used to. It doesn't inspire us anymore because it happened a long time ago. It happened many years ago. A lot of us are over it. We've moved on.
Well, a lot of us are not over it, Don. That's what I'm saying. If there's got to be at least 2,000 people that feel the way I do. I'm not over it.
There may be 2,000 people that feel the way you do, but they're not all in New York City. If we took all the people that feel the way you do out of New York City to protest the terror trials being held in New York City, maybe you get a couple of hundred people. Maybe. Maybe on a good day when it isn't raining and it's a nice day for a walk. And let's go down to Foley Square and see what's up. People are not inspired by things that happened. People are not inspired by things that happened last month. You think they still care about 9/11?
You know, well, what happened last month that I'm supposed to get inspired about?
It doesn't make any difference. I'm telling you that the country is. You know, it's very frustrating for me to have to keep explaining myself over and over again. I told you, I'm an Emmy Award-winning newsman.
Yeah, I had a scientist on last hour, Don.
Dr. Turner, I know him.
Okay. And who kept saying over and over, I'm a scientist, trust me, I'm a scientist, trust me.
I'm not saying I'm a newscaster, trust me.
That's exactly what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm saying there's no way in hell, no way in hell. I'm telling you right now. I forget that I'm a newsman. I'm telling you right now, there's no way in hell you get 2,000 people in the Foley Square in New York to protest the 9/11 that people are trying every day to forget.
Not the way that you think they're trying to forget. Not the way you think they're trying to forget.
What does that mean? Not the way I...
You think that people are trying to forget because they're bored by it. People are trying to forget the horror of that day, and they're trying to put some kind of... give it some meaning in the sense of our own history. Let's take a break here. Don Berman from Channel 19. He's right. I was debating him.
Yeah, he didn't think you were going to come on and debate you.
Well, I'm sorry, but when he says to me that he has information that Sean Hannity dummied up videotape to show that there were 2,000 people in New York City this weekend protesting the terror trials, and that only maybe 200 people showed up, and the only way he has to prove that is to say there's no way in hell people in New York get that excited, or anybody gets that excited about 9/11. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman from Channel 19 News on the line with us as we talk about the prospective terror trials coming up in New York of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other detainees who were going to be tried by a military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay, but instead will be tried in New York City. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous, record-breaking, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
You really frost my ass.
lame.
Oh, yeah, you're lame.
Nothing like those cats. They're lame. They're lame. Oh, God, they need a life. They're lame. 9/11 truthers suck. Blow it out your butt. All right, I copyright that idea right now. Our number is 877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- radio right now. Don Berman joins us from Channel 19 News as we discuss the protests this weekend in New York against the terror trials that are going to be held in New York of the detainees at Guantanamo, the primary figures in the planning of the 9/11 terror attacks, and most notably Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You're claiming that you saw a Sean Hannity piece on Fox purporting to show 2,000 people, and you are saying that Hannity faked the footage.
Well, Sean Hannity is well known for doing that. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, they proved that he had shown some fake footage of some other supposed rally that was going on. When I looked at this, and I saw, 1,500 people somewhere, and then along comes this guy, Mr. Hannity, to say that this was of the protests in Foley Square in New York, I immediately knew this young man was once again lying. And Sean, remember that Sean Hannity can get away with the lie because he has the boyish good looks. He doesn't have a seasoned newsman look, but he does have the boyish good looks that every mother wants to, wants to pinch his cheek and sit him down to a glass of milk and a bologna sandwich. And that's all well and good, but I don't think that passes for journalism.
But, Don, you've made the charge that it was phony, and yet you have said...
Let me put it to you this way. 9/11, it was horrible. There's no question about it. When I think of that day, I am horrified. But it frightens us, and I don't think it inspires us the way Sean Hannity wants us to believe that it does, to the point where...
It doesn't inspire us.
It does inspire us to not want to have terrorism. But it's not going to get... I'm telling you right now, there's no way on God's earth, on the earth that God created, or so they say, that 2,000 people, when you say to them, oh yeah, there's going to be a terror trial about 9/11, oh well, I'm going to run right down there. No way. And that's based upon many decades of seasoned news work, and also based upon the fact that I have been watching this man, Hannity, and the games that he's playing, and looking at where I am, and, one and one doesn't make three, and that's what's happening here.
Looking at, what do you mean by you?
The fact that he is there and I'm where I am, that's like 1 + 1 = 3. That doesn't make sense.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Here's Joey in Charleston. Joey, go ahead.
You understand what I'm saying?
I guess. You're saying that Sean Hannity... Anyway, Joey, go ahead.
I'm saying that Sean Hannity is where he is, and I should be where I am.
Yeah, go ahead, Joey.
I don't understand why we're spending all the money and everything to keep these people that are terrorists against our country.
Did you go down and protest it, though? I know that you don't like the fact that... But are you going to get out of bed and go to New York and protest it? No, you're not.
No, I can't.
Well, this man's in... Way. He's in South Carolina.
Well, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You don't care that much. If you lived in New York, you don't care that much, do you?
Oh, yeah. If I lived in New York, I would be there protesting. I don't understand.
All right,
why...
and that... I don't get that. I think that you and Mr. Hendry,
I don't understand why we want to, spend all the taxpayers' dollars and all the time we spend on the radio and whatnot for, trying to justify what these people have done. There's no excuse for what they've done to our country. What do they do to us?
I mean, do you care that much?
What does that mean? Do you care that much?
Well, this guy is saying that he doesn't like it, but you're not all that much. That was 9 years ago, and of course, 9/11 was terrible. But
right.
Are you telling me that you care that much that this trial's being held in New York? I don't understand what this guy's saying.
He doesn't like the fact that it's being held in New York.
But he doesn't really care.
Yeah, I care. I don't understand why anybody cares about it. That, I mean, there should not be such a big deal about it. There shouldn't. They should just be dealt with.
In other words, your tone of voice is the following. If I said to you, there's a rattlesnake crawling up your leg, you're saying, oh, wow, that's really terrible. That's how you sound. You don't sound that scared. And that's why I'm saying to Mr. Henry, while we're all horrified by what happened on September 11, 2001, we also we've got other fish to fry. And what do you think about Sean Hannity dummying up videotape?
You don't know that he did that.
There's no way I don't know that he did that. I don't know that he did that.
No, you don't know that he did that.
I don't know that the sun rises in the east. Yes, I do.
That's not the same thing to say that Hannity faked videotape. You're saying that he faked the videotape, you know.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Bin Laden. Okay? I'm saying he should be found and dealt with.
Bin Laden, he's not even on trial yet. We haven't even found him. I think this gentleman...
All right, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Phil is our number here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we talk about protests in New York City surrounding the possibility, well, the reality that there will be trials in New York City of these terror suspects, one of whom is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the primary tactician, if you will, planner of this 9/11, this horror that we all lived through. And Don, you're saying there's no way there were 2,000 people in Foley Square over and over and over again.
You wanted me to prove it to you, and I didn't think that I'd have to. I thought that perhaps just taking my word for the fact that I've been a seasoned newsman, Phil, I understand. But I, you know, listeners, they know what I'm talking about. Yes, 9/11 is terribly important to us, but the people don't care as much. They're just not that upset anymore. And for Hannity to claim 2,000 people went out there to protest this, I am saying he's a liar. And he had some intern go into a file and pull out a tape, as he had done once before, and showed dummied up videotape. But let me give you the proof. You're trying to tell me that on a weekend where Avatar is playing citywide in New York, 2,000 people are going to go down to Foley Square and scream and yell about some, you know, these camel dung shovelers, I'm sorry to say it that way, that they're going on trial.
Boy, that's not very objective of you as a newsman, Don.
You know what? Maybe it's that we want to go see Avatar so we can get some visceral satisfaction out of pretending that we're kicking some camel dung shovelers' ass, if you'll pardon my language.
So you're telling me that most people wanted to go see Avatar, then go protest this?
Because you can sit in a theater and pretend. Do you understand that this is James Cameron and that
who is what?
Who is what? James, you know who he is. James Cameron's a director.
He's directing Avatar.
Yes. Yes. Titanic? Ring a bell.
So what, man? I've got to blow that off in 5 seconds to go down and protest with some people about that terror trial thing.
Oh, so now we know your agenda. Now we know your agenda.
Don, it's not an agenda. I'm asking you why you don't believe 2,000 people will go down there.
Well, now we know why you think the way you think. Thank you. Thank you. I thought that you were being argumentative for argumentative sake, but now we know that you have a clear agenda, as Mr. Hannity does. And that's fine, but I would like you people to be a little bit more upfront about it.
I'm not dummying up videotape, and I'll tell you something else. I doubt seriously whether Sean Hannity did as well. Let's go to a phone call. We have Randy in Ocala, Florida. Randy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Good evening. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Mr. Hannity.
I'm fine, thank you.
When did it become Mr. Hannity?
Go ahead, Randy, with your...
I like Mr. Hannity, and I do believe people still care. I still care, incredibly so. People are even more upset that they would even bring these terrorists back to New York where it all happened. I think people care even more that they've done that. And I'm surprised there would be more than 2,000 people out there.
I'd like to believe you. I really would. But let me ask you this. And your name is Randy, correct?
Yes.
Yes, Randy. You have an opportunity. You can go down and protest with a couple of hundred people.
You don't know. There was 200 people. They claimed there were 2,000 people.
With dummied-up videotape.
You don't know that that was dummied-up videotape.
I'm asking the young lady a question. Would you go see Avatar, the new James Cameron-directed film?
No, I would be down there in New York protesting.
Well, you're in Ocala, Florida, so it would be up there.
You know what, Don? You can fool around with this all you want, but she answered your question.
All right, that's fine. But she can say whatever she wants to ingratiate herself with the hosts of the show here.
Well, I don't think that Randy is trying to ingratiate herself with the host of the show. I think she's speaking her opinion, and that is that she would go to New York.
Uh huh.
I absolutely.
Anyway, Randy,
have you ever lied before in your life?
That
only one.
Why are you laughing? I'm asking, have you ever lied before in your life?
I'm not lying to you. I've never called in a radio show in my life. I heard this, and I couldn't believe that. You wouldn't think that people still care.
You know that what I'm saying is true, that most people don't care. If they do care, then how come most people want us to pull out of Afghanistan? Thank you. All right. Score it. Score that one. That was easy.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're talking about something completely different. People were talking about a supposedly dummied up videotape where you're saying people don't care, and people do care.
Right.
People
were out there in New York with the so-called dummied up videotape. Let's go over to Jack in Indianapolis. Jack, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman.
No, but she didn't respond to the question, but the statement that I made, which was most people want us to pull out of Afghanistan.
That's a tragedy. Go ahead. You're on the air, Jack.
I have a sign in the back window of my truck, a big sign. We will never forget. It has a picture. I have a big picture of the flag and the tires and the smoke coming from the tires. And I don't care if Sean Hannity stands on his head and spits nickels. If he can get people to remember, that's what's wrong with America. They forget too easy. They forget too easy. And I will never forget. I'll go to my grave remembering the tars. America needs to wake up because there's been too much forgetfulness on our part.
Sir, I'm sorry, your phone dropped out, and I swear it sounded like you said, "I will never fart." And I know you didn't say that.
He said, I will never forget.
I will never forget.
Forget.
Never forget.
Yes.
All right, and your phone dropped out.
And if I could hold it. If I could go there and I had a way to go there and could afford to go there, I'd go there if there was 200 people, I went to college for a lot less, and this was something that I don't know how America could ever forget, man. 3,000 people died.
Right, exactly. And those are the people in New York, okay?
Well, I don't care where they're from. They're Americans.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that makes me, that I have to question this. This gentleman says he'd go, but, in other words, yes, he feels strongly, as we all do. But if he really cared, he would have gone to New York, but he didn't. He sat there in Indianapolis and did nothing.
He lives in Indianapolis, man.
I didn't know about it, sir.
All right,
If I'd known about it, I could have went. Sometimes you just can't go. You got obligations in this life. You can't just jump and run.
Well, we all have excuses, don't we?
That don't mean that I wouldn't go, and there's a lot of people that would go, but I still support those that did go. They're Americans. They're wonderful. They're great. I don't care who they are. I love them. I don't love you because you're making accusations against Sean Hannity. He needs to be there to support himself.
I'm saying here basically that what Don's got no proof.
Are you denying that Sean Hannity brought in some fake videotape once?
Sean acknowledged the fact that they got some file tape on there that was wrong. Yes. But the fact is, that's not proof that he dummied up tape about this thing in Foley Square.
Well, this gentleman sounds like a lot of Americans. He cares, but he had something else he had to do. I don't know what that was, and I'm sure
I didn't really know that it was going on. I don't know everything going on. I'm not God Almighty. I don't know everything.
You remember when we were kids? The dog ate my homework. This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the dog ate my homework.
This is a man who lives in Indianapolis, Indiana.
I'm hearing that America's been divided, and that's what they want, divide and conquer. They want Americans fighting against each other and calling each other liars and all kinds of junk. That's what they're up to, man. There's an agenda behind it. I don't care if Sean Hannity rolled on the floor and spit gobs of
nickels.
If he can make people believe or still remember what happened to those people, you just can't forget them people. What about the ones that's still suffering, man? The families, their loved ones is gone forever.
I think it's terrible that they're suffering.
Well, stop accusing people then.
But I'm not. I'm simply saying on a rainy Saturday in New York, are you going to go down to Foley Square or go see Avatar, which is in sneak preview?
I don't care if it was snowing a blizzard. I would go. I've stood out in the rain before and protested for other things that I knew was going on. I just didn't know this was going on. Yeah, I'd go. 100 times over, I'd go, whether you believe it or not, pal. Bye-bye.
Why weren't you on websites and checking out to see if this was going? See, if he really cared, he would have...
If he really cared what?
He would have been on websites checking out if this thing was going on or not, but he didn't care, and he hangs up on me. You want to know why, Phil? Because as a journalist, I get to it. And what I was getting closer to the truth with him. If he really cared, he would have gotten to New York City.
He's in the middle of the country in Indianapolis, Indiana. You understand? You're telling me there's no way you could get 2,000 people to turn out for something in New York City. That's the biggest city in the country, all right? 8 million people living on that island, and people don't care enough.
Well, if he cared, he says he cared. If he cared, you can get yourself a round-trip ticket to New York, but he didn't. You know why he didn't? Because there was something else. And excuse me for saying this, it probably had something to do with wrestling. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so in other words, he lives in Indianapolis, so he's into wrestling.
Well, no, not necessarily, but he kept saying that, you know, something about how they were tires. I don't know what he meant by tires.
Terror. 877-876-PHIL with Don Berman here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Bob in Illinois. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, that liberal you got in there for a reporter, I tell you what, he needs to wake up. My God, he doesn't understand. There's American people out here still pissed off about that deal. And like I said to that guy before, we are to line their asses up against the wall and shoot them on public TV to tell the people what we are to do with terrorists. Yeah, I'm pissed.
Well,
I'll guarantee there's been at least 2,000 people.
If you go to New York,
they probably got families over in New York City and wanting to make a statement.
Right. That's a point. There's a people here who lost people.
Did this gentleman, can I ask the gentleman a question?
Go ahead.
Sir, did you check flights from Bloomington to New York so you could be a part of the protest?
I didn't make that appointment because I'm out here driving for a living. I have to support my family. But by God, if it had been close enough,
there we go.
Off 2 days to get there and back home, I would have been there to protest. I guarantee you, I have protested before, and I will protest again. And I have
spent
my time in the military. And that's another
thing
that pisses me off. I guarantee you, you get enough people that's been in the Vietnam War, and you get them in the Korean War, and you get the people that's actually stood up for America. By God, we're sick and tired of people running over us.
Let me ask you something.
He dropped the S-bomb.
What did you protest, sir? You said you went to a protest. What did you protest?
Oh, I protested against the people that are sitting over here in the college.
It was close by.
Whoa, listen. These liberals and people were standing up saying there ain't no God that we came from. I got over there and I protested. You know why? Because when I went to battle for the liberals in America, I stood up for God and country. I stood up for what my grandfathers come to America for. And I tell you what, it's...
Well, that's all very nice. That's all very neat.
To stand for something, I'm going to stand. But when you liberals get in there, you'll fall for anything.
No, sir. I'm telling you that if given the opportunity, if I gave you passes... If I gave you passes to Avatar, you would have gone and seen that instead of gone up
to... I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you.
It's a movie.
I don't know what it is. You know why? Because I've got my goals set higher than going out here to a theater to watch some movie or whatever this is you're talking about. I got a family to support. I ain't got time to sit there and go around watching movies and going out and do all this piddly stuff.
It's a movie by James...
to keep America going and keep supporting the lazy bums that are out there doing nothing.
Good point. Good, very good point, Kevin.
Oh, good point. It's a movie by James Cameron, the man that made Titanic. And you wouldn't go see that.
Who are you talking about? James who?
Oh, give me a break. You never heard of the movie Titanic.
Wait,
I have no clue who you're talking about.
He doesn't know what it is. And you know what? Not everybody's life revolves around James Cameron, Don, and all this crap that you're talking about.
Crap.
Yeah, it's crap. Compared to people remembering 9/11, yes, crap.
Well, I will tell both of you gentlemen, I think, missed the point. Kevin is there in Columbus, Bob in Kevington, or?
It's Bob in Bloomington.
Bob in Bloomington. Now, it's all very well and good to talk a big streak, but you didn't get up off your butt and get a bus ticket to New York.
He told you that the man, he's working for a living. Working.
Yeah. We all just can't skip across country and take 2 and 3 days off work to go make a protest. But that doesn't mean we can't back those who went. And it doesn't mean that those that might have went, that we didn't help support. All right?
Say that again.
Didn't do. But I'll tell you this. When time comes to fight, there's a lot of us Americans out here that's ready to go back to war if we have to be called to war. You know why? Because we know what it takes to keep America free. And as long as these terrorists are sitting over there spending our tax dollars to get a trial they shouldn't have never even got to, being fed in prison where they shouldn't even get this waterboarding crap. I tell you what, that ain't a joke. You don't have a clue as to some of the things that goes on to extract the information. How about drills in the kneecaps? How about cutting off fingers and pulling out fingernails? You want to find out what real waterboarding is? By God, we can show you what real waterboarding is. We can show you what...
All right, well, okay, well, thank you very much, President Bush. Phil, how did you get George Bush to call the show? It's nice to talk to you, Mr. President.
Why don't you just stop with your jokes, okay?
It sounded like George Bush to me.
Sounded like George Bush to you,
man,
huh?
I'm talking reality here. Don't you have any clue what the real world is like? Are you that blind
that
you don't want to see? You guys are taking people who should be alive.
You have the blinders on that you don't even know who James Cameron is. He made a film called...
He didn't want to...
I can't believe you're a reporter and you get a one-sided story like that.
This blows my mind.
You need to wake up.
I'm awake to the fact that...
You've been leading America down the tubes for a long time.
The Bloomington, Indiana sneak preview of Avatar, and you don't want to go...
9/11 is what we're talking about.
I have no clue what the movie is.
All right, well, thank you very much, Mr. President.
Anyway, I appreciate your call, Bob. Thanks a lot, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
What's with the whole Mr. President thing?
If that wasn't George Bush, you can kiss my you-know-what out on Main Street at high noon.
That was not George Bush.
The hell it wasn't. And here's the thing that I want to know. How do you get him and I can't get Bush?
It was a caller, man.
That was a caller. Yeah, it was a caller named George Bush.
There was a caller named Bob and... Hold on. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, because you don't want to get to me anymore, huh?
Phil and...
If that wasn't George Bush...
Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. What? They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid how to cook marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it. Final couple of minutes here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we continue to talk about the prospective terror trial in New York and the outrage expressed by people in New York over the weekend. Don thinks it's manufactured. He says there's no way 2,000 or even 1,500 people showed up in New York to protest these terror trials. Here is Kevin in Columbus, Ohio. Kevin, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say this.
Yes, sir.
I think he's totally off base with what he's saying. I listen to a lot of talk radio and a lot of news, and I know the fact that they're doing these trials in New York is probably one of the top controversies out there right now. And I think, you know, the fact that it's in New York City where these things happen, it's absolutely insane to think that 2,000 people or more would not show up. And beyond that, I have to agree with what you said earlier, Mr. Henry, is that this guy's not backing up his opinion with any kind of factual evidence. I mean, if he had some video footage of some other rally that, you know, you could play side by side with this, and you could say, look, these are the same people doing the same things, and it's a carbon copy, then, okay, that's factual evidence. That's proof that Hannity has, you know, whatever, you know, lied about this. But, you know, to just say, oh, there's, you know, that can't happen because there's just no way that can happen. I mean, that's absolutely insanity. I mean, that's the example of the poor kind of reporting.
Let me say this to you, sir. First of all, it's radio. How can I show it? It's radio. How can I show it?
Well, that's not the point. You made the claim that it was dummied up.
Yeah, but how do I? You want this gentleman wants visual. How do I prove that? I don't have. It's not a TV stunt. And the other, the bigger issue. You sound like a young man. You know what I'm talking about when I'm saying Avatar, right? Okay.
No, I don't.
Well, he doesn't give a crap either.
He doesn't know? Where is he?
Columbus, Ohio.
Well, that's bigger than Bloomington, wherever that other guy.
What difference does it make, man? You're talking about a movie.
I'm talking about a week. The man that directed Terminator and the other one, Titanic. Here's a movie that is going to... And by the way, I've got a call in to Mr. Cameron, if he can take my phone call.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, when you look at what this administration and Congress have done just in
So you were familiar with him. Were you afraid?
We sued the Padgett after they fired you. They countersued.
We have volunteer armed forces.
You have been tweeting me.
Mike, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is our bitch. Every night until the aforementioned times. The Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. Through the looking glass we go. Coming up this hour, Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association and the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization will be joining us to talk about the unbelievable tragedy of this poor woman, Charla Nash. You know the story. We covered it in great detail earlier in the year when it happened. This was a lady who was attacked by this chimpanzee, this monkey that was a pet of her friend's. And this animal did a fair amount of damage. This lady was on Oprah Winfrey and was being talked to, interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. Want to bring on Bobby and Steve to talk a little bit about that, the coverage that it got. And there's also the question of the availability of this clip, because if you go over to YouTube, it's not readily available. I've watched it. I've seen the stills. It's very disturbing. Bobby and Steve, join us. Bobby, welcome to our program.
Steve and I are very, very happy to be with you.
And Mr. Dooley is there?
Mr. Hogg, right here.
When did you get the word that this poor woman was on the Oprah Winfrey Show? She was there. She had some bandages on. But she was evident to everyone and quite severely injured. When did you find out about this? Did you see it?
We did not see it, Phil. And this is what I wanted to tell you before we went on the air, because I didn't want to give the impression that we did see it.
I understand.
What happened was we were in the middle of a steering committee meeting for our Fightacular, which is in a week. This is a charity fashion show that we do, as well as a dinner dance Donna Levin came in. She is a part of our steering committee.
What is her name again?
Donna Levin. L-E-V-E-N.
Okay.
She came in and said, you have to turn the TV on. We immediately asked her why. She said that the woman who had been attacked by this chimpanzee was on TV, on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Most of the women that I know, and I'm sure a lot of women in your audience, are regular viewers of the Oprah Winfrey Show. It just so happened that today we were involved in this steering committee meeting. So we immediately went to the television, and it was not on the air. At that time, Steve was in the room, and I said, could you access the clips on YouTube?
Betty, I went over to YouTube and tried to find out about it.
So you went to YouTube, Mr. Dooley?
Uh-huh.
So he went over and tried to find the clips on YouTube. They had been taken down, my understanding most likely by the producers of the Oprah Winfrey Show. At that point, I then asked Steve to go to some of the websites that we know, LiveLeak, Breitbart.com.
I went over to LiveLeak and it didn't have it.
But none of the websites had it. So we were left to our own devices, of which we had none. And really the point here that I'm making, Phil, is that we are regular viewers of Oprah Winfrey. I never miss her program, with the exception of the steering committee meetings that we have. And yet, as a regular viewer of her program, I was not allowed to see these clips, to see this interview that everyone was talking about. I was not allowed to even access it by way of YouTube or some of the other channels. And it was not available on DVD. We did email Harpo Productions, which is the Oprah Winfrey production company.
Okay.
And at that time, we did say that we find it shocking and a little puzzling why you wouldn't make this interview available. And when will it be available on DVD? We were told at that time that there was no date scheduled for the release of DVD. So we were left really just stunned. I have to tell you, I was shocked. I'm a regular viewer of Oprah Winfrey's. This was a fascinating interview that she did with this woman, who I understand, according to your comments, Mr. Andrew, her face was very badly injured.
Very badly injured, yes.
This would have obviously been something that we would all have wanted to see, because I heard it was very interesting, not just from you, but from others. And we were kept from seeing it. I have to ask the question, as I'm sure millions of American women are asking right now as they listen to my voice, what has happened to Oprah Winfrey that suddenly, if you're not right there watching her show, you know, it's not a joke, it's a comparison, but like a trained monkey.
Yeah, like a chimpanzee.
Like a trained chimpanzee. Why, if you're not there, are you told, well, then you don't get to see something that everyone's talking about? And so, no, to answer your question, no, I did not see it. I did see some of the still photographs, but you really couldn't tell anything from that. It was a...
Looked like she had a big nose or...
Okay, we'll get into... I don't want to talk specifically about this poor woman's condition, okay? You understand that?
No, I understand, Phil, but what is concerning to me...
Well, what sounds to me like you're saying is that you're concerned that you didn't have access to seeing the show. Is that it?
Well, yes, because everyone's talking about it. You were going to do an entire segment on it. And
well, if you hadn't seen this show, why did you agree to come on the program?
Because I want to get the message out to the millions of American women that didn't see it, that Oprah Winfrey is sending what seems to be a very clear signal to the rest of us. If you're not in front of the television at 3 or 4 or whenever I tell you to be there, you're out of luck. And you miss out on a really interesting interview, probably one of the most interesting interviews she's going to do this year. Everyone's talking about it. This was the woman who had been attacked by this monkey back in the spring.
Yeah, and everybody
was talking about it too, Mr. Henry.
I understand everyone was talking about it. Yes, of course, and the news story itself was prevalent. And the story was horrific, and the story, and this poor woman, and I can only keep saying poor woman because I watched this and I looked at her condition, and your heart, you just want to cry, you know?
That is, I heard it was fascinating. And everyone's telling me this except for the gals in the steering committee. We didn't see it. Now, I have a list of the names, and I don't know if you want to take these names down or not, Mr. Henry.
These are names of who, ma'am?
These are the names.
The steering committee people. That were there.
These are the names of our steering committee members. Don Levin, Roberta Dooley, that's me, Janice Greeley.
Now, what? Before you give me these names, why are you giving me these names?
Because we were, and I thought that Steve had talked to you, I'm sorry.
No, I have not talked to Mr. Dooley. Why are you giving me the names?
We want our names to go on the record as having not seen the woman whose face was on TV, and everyone else got to see it.
See, that's the point, Mr. Henry. Everybody else gets to see it. Got to come. I went to the steering committee.
I didn't quite hear your husband there.
Let me see. He said that the point is that there were those of us who were in the steering committee meeting, and we didn't get to see the interview. And I heard it was absolutely, it was compelling. And
well, Ms. Dooley, I saw the interview, and I saw this lady's face. It is a tragedy that knows no bounds. We've been privy to stories such as this in this year of people whose features have been devastated by some injury or intentional assault, like the case of that woman who was injured by the shotgun blast.
I did see that one. That made me want to see this one all the more because there is a continuity to it, and it is something I think everyone should see.
Well, you're talking about the woman who was shot by her, I guess, then husband, with the shotgun.
We did see that, yes. And that was fascinating. That is why we wanted to see this one.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. You saw the pictures and the interview of this woman.
We saw the interview of the woman after her face had been put back on, or...
Well, they put a new face.
When they transplanted the face, yes. I didn't see her talking, though, when her face was still in that... I guess it was sort of convex.
I don't even know if she was interviewed then, Ms. Dooley, but the question I want to ask you is, you understand how traumatic that this could be. I was going to post it on my Facebook page. I linked it on Twitter because it wouldn't be quite so jarring. If you put it on Facebook, there's going to be a still of this woman's face. I didn't want to scare anybody. You understand?
I totally understand that. I get how a lot of people are squeamish that way. And I certainly do.
Well, it isn't just squeamish. It's something that can hit you right in the heart. It can hit you in the gut, you know.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
And when you see these things, your heart breaks, and your mind reels from the ramifications, the friendship she had with this woman, the attack itself, the obviously a lovely face she had before. Your mind is just staggered by these things.
Absolutely, Phil, and that's why we wanted to see it, because I heard it was fascinating. And
But I went and I saw one picture.
Steve got to see one picture, but we didn't get to see her face on the video. And I wonder why Oprah doesn't have more respect, because that's really what I want to talk about.
So for you, the story is not so much this woman, it's Oprah's insensitivity to you and to other women.
Myself and other women that didn't get a chance to see this, what Oprah Winfrey is trying to do is, again, this story is about a monkey, and she's trying to turn all of her fans into monkeys by training us to be in front of the TV at a certain time where we don't get to see this woman, we don't get to see the face that she has now, because at some point there will be a face transplant, and we won't have gotten to see it before, you know.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be before and after pictures. You understand that?
Yeah, but there won't be...
There won't be the interview of her trying to talk.
Exactly. There won't be the interview of her talking while, you know, I don't know if she had a mouth.
She had a very difficult time talking. Hold the line, Ms. Dooley. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley here. on our show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. She's upset with Oprah Winfrey for taking down clips of the interview with this woman, Charla Nash, whose injuries to her face were so profound and extreme that it would be unsettling to watch. Nonetheless, Ms. Dooley is upset that she didn't get to see the interview with Charla Nash because they were having a steering committee meeting, and now she wants those clips put on a DVD or otherwise posted on YouTube and Facebook, which the Oprah Winfrey Show people haven't done yet. More with Bobby Dooley and her husband, Steve, and your phone calls. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. As we have sort of taken a turn here, this is a discussion not only of Charla Nash, but also of Oprah Winfrey not making a DVD of this so some women who missed it could watch it. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Is the host there? Are you there?
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Yesterday on the Oprah Winfrey Show, it might have been replayed in other parts of the country.
Phil, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's something else we wanted to address. The fact that this was a rerun here in Los Angeles shows a profound insensitivity on the part of Oprah Winfrey. And again, if she's going to have a woman on whose face was, I guess, chewed up or
her face was destroyed by this chimpanzee.
Right. If she's going to have the woman's face on, we feel that as fans of hers, she needs to let people know when and how it airs. Steve, I know you have information.
We did suggest, Mr. Wright, if they make it available on Blu-ray.
If they can make it available on Blu-ray, DVD. We were told by Harpo Communications that would not be possible. So, again, we are dealing with Oprah Winfrey's insensitivity. First, the rape of those girls in South Africa. Now, we don't get to see this woman's face as she tries to talk. And I heard it was...
Yeah, she's just mumbling and everything.
You're making this all about Oprah Winfrey's... In the rape of the girls in South... You know, she dealt with that. This has nothing to do with that. This is something different.
But I don't understand why you're getting upset with me, Phil. This has got nothing to do with me.
I'm telling you that this woman who was interviewed, the clip that I saw, she was terribly, terribly injured. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I understand that, and I wanted to see that.
Yeah, well, that's all we wanted to see it, you know?
I know. You guys wanted to see it. I get that you wanted to see it. I'm just saying that I have a hard time, I suppose, figuring how Oprah Winfrey's insensitivity is playing into this. 877-876-PHIL. Here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with Kevin in Reseda, California. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Phil. I'm sorry, but this woman you're speaking to is the most twisted, morbid, and I'm told I can use this word, bitch, I have ever spoken.
Why would you say that?
Well, if you will stop talking, I will tell you. Because all you care about is you want to stop it. Stop it.
Excuse me, but I'm listening to what you're saying.
Okay, I know, but I don't need you. Just please listen.
Well, I'm not telling you what to say.
Oh, see, you can do it. All you care about is seeing this woman's disfiguration, and it's sick. It is sick. She has
That's
been disfigured beyond.
Yes.
She is disfigured beyond belief, and all you care about is you didn't get to see it. You want to see before and after pictures. You want to see how this monkey destroyed her face. You are a twisted bitch.
No. Excuse me, but your pejorative language, you know, it's really, you may find it funny, but I
No, you are.
And you
are
think
just
this
wrong.
Woman's face is funny. And let
you
the record show
wrong.
That you're laughing at this woman's face. I'm not.
No,
he's not laughing.
I'm laughing at,
no,
I'm
he
laughing
isn't.
At you.
No, I heard you laugh. I heard you
at
laugh.
You. At you.
As if
at
you think
you.
The whole thing's a joke.
You
what
are
do you have
a
to say?
Sick, sick woman.
You know, you can call me. All right, you called me a bitch. Why don't I call you an F-A-G?
Well, all right. Let's.
Oh, go ahead. You know,
never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Okay.
I called you an FAG. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't want any more name calling. No. I don't want name calling. Come on. What I want from you, Bobby, is to address what the man said. That there is a tone to what you're saying that may make people think you are voyeuristic.
Absolutely. I understand that this is fascinating. Everybody's talking about it except me. I didn't get to see it. Don Levin didn't get to see it. Janice Greeley didn't get
Why
to see it.
Why did you need to see it?
I heard
it.
People say that the face... What?
Why did you need to see it? Why do you feel you needed to see it?
Everyone is talking about it. They're saying,
so you feel left out, you feel left
like.
Out of the party? You feel left
did
out
I
of the party?
Did I say party? Did I say party? I didn't say party.
Well,
I heard it
what?
Was absolutely fascinating. Because
no, you
it's
found
fascinating.
It fascinating. What you found fascinating was not what she had to say, not what her story
no.
was. All you cared about was
yes, no,
how
you,
damaged
no,
her
I,
face was.
No, I did not say that. I said I wanted to
oh,
hear
yes,
her speak.
You did.
There was,
yes.
Well, I did want to hear her speak. But my question, of course, is, was she mumbling? Because my understanding was she didn't have a mouth. Is that
right? I
Ms.
know,
Dooley, this poor woman could not speak clearly because she'd been terribly injured. Yes.
That's okay. So, of course, I want to see it, but I guess that's not good enough for this man.
Well, what is it?
Gets,
why did you want to see it? What are you?
Why did you want to see it? Why did you want to see it?
I didn't want to see it.
Well, then why did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Well, then you don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, God.
Well, then you're not even
I know exactly.
You have no idea
know,
what you're talking about.
Well, Ms. Dooley, this man knows as much about it as you do. He knows as much about it as you do, and he has a little bit of sensitivity when it comes to talking about it. 877-876. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley about Charla Nash on The Oprah Show, revealing her terribly disfigured face. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Bobby and Steve in a moment. Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL. Phil on the line with me, Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We talk about the interview with Charla Nash that was done on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and this was as heartbreaking a thing as I've ever seen in my life, Ms. Dooley. And I think that the sense that I'm getting from you, you're talking about Oprah Winfrey having insensitivity that she did not make this interview available on YouTube. You're saying that she's insensitive, that she did not make this interview available on Blu-ray.
Well, Phil, you have to understand something.
No, hold on. You're saying that she's insensitive. You have not yet really talked about Charla Nash herself and your feelings about her.
I was going to get to that, and I you know, it's really funny when you're being ganged up on and you're trying to get out the words that you want to say.
Well, if I've stopped you from saying something, say it.
I was going to say that this woman, look, there are millions of American women across the country tonight that know what I'm talking about. And we have four simple words for Oprah Winfrey. Show us the face. Show us Charla Nash. Do you understand that there are a lot of women who have issues with their own looks that would feel better if we could see...
Okay, but you're talking about making it available on Blu-ray... And this turns it into some kind of a freak show.
You're not a woman, and you don't know what it's like being overweight. I've got a lot of girlfriends that... I don't have any overweight girlfriends, but I do have girlfriends that know overweight women. And they tell me it's heartbreaking. If Oprah Winfrey would make available this interview, because we were not in front of our TV sets, and she didn't put it on YouTube, so that we can look and see and say, okay, now there... You see how much better looking you are. And I
that's about the cruelest thing I could possibly hear any human say.
How dare you?
No, that's the cruelest thing I could hear any human being say. See, you aren't so bad looking.
I didn't say, I said I thought it was interesting from the standpoint that Ms. Nash, that you've insisted that I call her. I wanted to say the woman who had been, we were going to use...
Well, yeah, during the break you said you wanted to call her the woman that had been chimped, and I said, no, you may not. It sounds frivolous, almost like you're trying to be funny.
Mr. Hendry, I never said anything of the sort.
Well, it sounded that way to me. All right?
I said if we could use some kind of shorthand.
Well, her name is Charla Nash. She still has a name, and that's the name that we're going to use.
Mr. Hendry, there's no need to talk about my wife and everything.
I'm not talking about your wife, sir. I'm saying that this is the way that I would like this conversation conducted. All right? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Here is Steve. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Fine. Hey, thank you.
You know, this lady and her friends are the problem of this country. They're too into other people's tragedies, and she keeps using the word, whole interview and stuff is fascinating, and then she's talking about being able to compare the looks. You know, that's ridiculous.
I'm not the only one that watched the interview.
Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
It's this lady and her selfishness about wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
And would you stop, please?
I'm listening to you.
She's sitting there even wanting to name out her and her friends' names of people who weren't able to watch this. You know,
yeah. What was that exactly? What was that about?
This lady that was attacked.
I wanted us to go on the record as the people who were not allowed to watch the video. Well, you got to see it.
No, I didn't see it. I'm out working.
But you could have if you wanted to.
No,
you could have if you wanted to.
I'm a truck driver. I'm out all week. I don't get to watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm home on weekends only, so I don't get to watch TV, and I don't sit there and cry about not being able to watch a favorite program or anything. You know, you're just being insensitive and selfish about, I couldn't watch this because I was at this meeting. You know, this poor lady's going to have to suffer for this for the rest of her life, and you're more concerned about not being able to see their show because you can't compare your looks to hers. And that's just
that is absolutely sickening. That is slanderous. I did not. I said I'm fascinated to know about it.
You said that you wanted to make the DVD available.
Some of the girls that we know are overweight and have issues with their self-esteem.
Oh my God! You can't even compare the difference. You can't even compare.
No.
Don't even go.
Not
there.
At all.
Don't even go there. Are you a woman?
I don't think you're a woman.
Fascinating about this poor lady, and you know what? There's nothing fascinating except for the fact that she survived.
Yes, exactly. That's the fascinating story. Yeah.
That's the problem with this country is you and a bunch of women sit there and live your life around this Oprah Winfrey and stuff, and rather than what's really going on in this nation and real stories. And then if you can't see a program, my feelings are hurt because I couldn't watch this. You know what?
I have a very good friend.
Why don't you do something different?
Can I tell you something? I have a friend who has...
Say a prayer for this lady and said to say, you know what, I hope she gets better and I hope she lives a long time.
You have dominated the conversation. And Mr. Hendry, you've allowed this man to go on and go, and you're going, I agree. And I can't go, And the whole effect of this is the two men ganging up on a woman. Okay, that's fine.
We're not ganging up, Ms. Dooley. I've given you 20 minutes, and what you've been talking about is the fact that, this woman, you can't see the face. This isn't a woman to you. It's an interesting face for you to look at on TV.
Millions of people have watched this. So you two guys, I don't know what you're talking about. Millions of people are fascinated with what
that's the problem with this country.
Looks like
fascinated.
And everything. Well,
everybody's
maybe the country has a problem.
With tragedy on the lady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the country has a problem.
Why don't you just sit there and take more intrigue interest in what's going on in this nation and what's going overseas instead of...
Something? You don't really know what's going on out there. You know what? You don't know what time it is out on the street. I have a girlfriend who has horrible acne. And she has lived with this since she was a teenager. To see the Oprah Winfrey show on Blu-ray with the woman that was chimped, Phil doesn't want me to say that.
But I don't want to hear that term. I told you I didn't want you to say that.
Well, don't yell at my wife, Mr. Hendrick.
I told her I didn't want to hear that term. Now you're going to tell me that the woman with... who is this? Is somebody with acne?
Oh, well, listen to how insensitive you are. My girlfriend, Darla, has had acne since she was 13.
I don't care if she had acne since she was 13.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Here we go. The truck driver's waiting. What?
You take pictures of her and flash her over the internet so other people can see it? No, you don't.
We did do one.
It would be the same thing.
For Halloween.
You did one for Halloween, huh?
Pictures and flash it over the internet either.
We did a joke page called Pizza Face. We took it down when she got upset.
Oh, that's very mature.
You don't flash it over the internet for other people to make fun of or to sit there and watch.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did an internet page called Pizza Face, and we took it down.
All right. Unreal. Steve, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Barry. Barry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we talk here about Charla Nash, who was the guest on Oprah Winfrey's show yesterday. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Dooley, I think it is. I'm going to try to be professional.
My name is Bobby Dooley.
But I'm going to ask you a professional question here in a professional manner.
Well, are you a psychiatrist?
Do you have any children?
Are you a psychiatrist?
No, I'm not. I'm a police officer. I'm a normal human being. I don't have any special education.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any children?
Mm-hmm. I have three sons that I love very much,
Let me ask you a question now. Let's say one of your sons, I don't know how old they are, but hypothetically speaking, let's say one of your sons got into a horrific car accident. It was completely mangled, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had the unfortunate situation where you had to arrange a funeral for your own son, who was completely disfigured and deformed because of this bad car accident.
This would be one of my sons, you're saying? Okay.
And you had a complete stranger come up to you at your funeral, your son's funeral.
That wouldn't happen.
You chose to have a closed casket because your son was so deformed. Would you appreciate that complete stranger coming up to you saying, you know what? I'm offended you won't open this casket so I can see your son's how badly he got deformed in that car accident. But what would your answer be to a complete stranger if
you
said something like that?
I don't understand.
That stranger wants to see your child.
How badly disfigured, dismembered
your child was. What would you say to that person?
Well, it would never happen.
Well, what do you mean it would never happen?
That's my point. You make no sense. You're completely
Are they going to put it on the Oprah Winfrey show?
I don't have much more.
Are they going to put what on the Oprah Winfrey show?
Are they going to put my son's casket or whatever this man's talking about on Oprah?
No, they wouldn't put it on Oprah.
Then why am I going to open up? What do I want to open the lid for?
Yeah, what's the point?
So if they would put it on Oprah, you'd open the lid.
Well, Mr. Hendry, there are certain fees. And I don't understand.
So if Oprah came to you and said, you know,
you and this cop, excuse me, you're both blah, 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 and I don't understand anything that you're saying. I gave you a very simple answer.
I'm telling you that if Oprah Winfrey came to you and said, I will pay you if you'll open up the lid to your son's coffin.
Well, we'd have to certainly consider it. I don't think there's a human being alive that wouldn't. And I think what's happened here tonight, Phil, I'm a mother and I'm a woman, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a mother and I'm a woman.
You're a mother and a woman, and so what?
That is the statement. I'm a mother and I'm a woman, and the people I've been talking to have no conception. I speak for a lot of women when I say, Oprah, DVD, Blu-ray, YouTube, you have to do something decent. So that maybe the first time in your life to show us what everybody else got to see.
And yeah, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
You know something?
I'm out of my mind. Thank you.
I'm out of my mind. I'm out of my mind because I want a whole lot of zeros from Oprah. Okay.
Yeah, you would be out of your mind, especially when you're talking about a son that you love, opening up the lid on his coffin because Oprah paid you the price.
Hey, if she wants to make with a frog skin.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard Steve.
Yeah, I heard him.
Well, he said if she wants to make with the frog skins, yes. But no woman would ever disagree with what I've been saying. And there are millions of women out there tonight who are saying, show us the face.
Yeah.
So that...
So that your fat friends and your girlfriend who has acne...
How dare you? Those girls have such a self-image problem. For you to say your fat friends, number one, Phil...
Well, you're the one that brought them up in relation to this woman who has suffered a horrible, horrible injury.
Number one, they're not friends of mine. And I want that made very clear.
Oh, so you people will know that you don't hang around with fat people? Is that it?
I want it made very clear. I didn't make any commentary. I said they're friends of my friends. That's number one. Number two, my girlfriend doesn't have acne anymore. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was last year.
It was last year. But the fact is...
Well, the fact is that either your fat friends or your girlfriend with acne have suffered anything even remotely... even within the same galaxy or universe as Charla Nash, who was very courageous, by the way. I listened to her. I listened to her words. There was no vindictiveness. She was, I could have cried. 877-876-PHIL, what?
She wants to say something.
I don't think it's very manly for you to say you're going to cry and then beat up on me.
All right, hold the line and tell her. I'll talk to her in a minute. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
On the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Mm-hmm.
There's one aquarium that we support here, the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach. They do animal rescue. They rehabilitate. They have animals that actually live longer in captivity, which are the sea lions. Other than that, man, they ain't got no dolphins, and they don't have any damn whales, and they haven't got any monkeys, and they haven't got this, and they haven't got that. Their whole trip there is taking care of animals. They do animal rescue. They got otters and stuff. Once they get them back to good health, they stick their butt back out there at Big Sur, whatever the hell they're doing, cracking that albacore and pissing off all the fishermen, which is what otters are supposed to do. And what's a monkey supposed to be doing? Living in the jungle. What are you doing, bud?
I got Mr. Dozier waiting. He's all and everything.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so it's time for Vernon Dozier now in our world according to... Sorry, Mr. Dozier, I knew you were hanging on the line, but I just had to get that off of my chest. I'm sure you will... Agree, huh?
Well, I got to tell you that, I don't mind you being, saying you got me coming on after what? You had a monkey and it peeled someone's scalp off, is that it?
It badly mauled a woman.
I had a monkey at one time.
You had a pet monkey?
I did, yes I did. It was a chimpanzee. Now, you know that the chimpanzee is part of the ape family, you know that?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if your listeners know that the officers that responded to that said that the monkey came around the side of the car. So what the monkey had done is it went after one of the officers. That officer got inside the car. The monkey went, all right, if that's how you want to play it. I'm not saying that's what the monkey thought, but he went around and tried to get at him the other way. Now, I had a monkey try to do the same thing to me.
What did you have it as a pet?
I did not have it as a pet, no. This was an animal that I was keeping for a friend of mine, and he had this chimpanzee that he bought from a guy. Now, somehow he'd gotten it through a military custom in San Diego, and I wound up sitting with this thing. And for some reason, he had this fruit that I would serve it. He said, now feed it some of this fruit out of a bowl. And I said, well, there are apples and there are oranges. There was no bananas. And my thinking was that monkeys... eat bananas. He said, no, they don't. This one likes to eat these apples and oranges. You give them that. So I'd had a very tiring week at work. And for some reason, I thought it would be funny if I peeled a banana and looked at the monkey and started eating the banana. And that's when it dropped the fruit and it started to make a move. Now, I was in the United States Marine Corps, as you know, Phil.
Yeah.
I learned Krav Maga. I learned certain jiu-jitsu, and I did learn taekwondo. Taekwondo is a series of kicks as well as punches. When the monkey began to make its move, I came with a roundhouse kick. It went back, it kind of went to the side and hit the cupboard, and then came at me again. And that's when I came with the other leg.
No, hold on for a minute, man. Hold on for just a second. This animal was inside the house?
It was inside the house. That's correct.
And the monkey came after you. Why? Because you were eating a banana?
Because it felt that I was making a comment on what it should be doing or something. That was my estimation. I asked my friend, and he agreed.
You're telling me that because you were eating a banana, the monkey took that personally?
No, it didn't take it personal, but it felt that it was eating fruit, and here I was doing what the monkeys that he had been. He's the monkey I'm talking about. The monkey that I kicked its ass. That monkey.
Yeah, is that the monkey that came at you because you were eating a banana?
I was eating a banana, and the monkey had been eating this apple, and he looked up at me. He didn't turn his full head toward me. He glanced up out of the corner of his eye and saw the banana, and that's when he made the move. So naturally, I'm assuming it's because I had the banana, and he felt I would, I don't know.
Well, monkeys are not going to feel like you're mocking them.
All right, well, whatever the reason, I'm telling you right now, Phil, I saw it take a quick look at me, drop the fruit, and then make its move. All right, and I knew it was going to make its move. I made mine. And, you know, may the better, in this instance, may the better man or the better ape or the better, you know, the better primate or however, may the better primate win. So
you get a you kick the animal, and did it neutralize the monkey?
Well, it's not a monkey, it's a chimpanzee. It did not. I came with a pretty good roundhouse kick. It sent the monkey about three, it staggered the monkey, but it came back again. That's when I came with the other leg, and I threw a right hand. The monkey tried to do what monkeys do. It tried to mount, basically what they try to do is mount, it'll put its legs around your neck and try to just shove it. I mean, I don't know how to put it, but it tries to just stick, you know, everything right in your face. And I knew that if the monkey was going to do that to me, all bets were off. And that's when I came with the left hand, and I put it out. And my friend arrived, and I told him what happened. He said, well, you know, enough said. And we got some smelling salts and roused it. But unless you know what you're doing.
So you knocked this monkey out with two punches?
No.
Now, you said you kicked it once, and then you kicked it again?
Yeah, two roundhouse kicks, a right hand. The left is what put him down. And I didn't think I had him down. It staggered a little bit and kept staring at me the whole time, even as it was wobbling. Almost like you see in one of them. Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw Cinderella. See Cinderella?
You mean Cinderella Man?
I don't know what the name of it. The prize fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hit this thing with a good left hand, and it weaved, and then dropped. And that's when Junior got back.
Now, who's Junior?
That's my friend.
Oh, okay.
And he got back, and we said, well, he looked at the monkey splayed out. I said, I'm sure you understand. He said, of course I do. And he went, got smelling salts and brought it around. And the monkey spent the rest of the afternoon on a swing in the backyard, just probably didn't even know what hit it. But unless you know how to deal with one of these things.
Well, you know what? That was a hell of a story. I don't have any more time.
Well, I figured you didn't have any time, and that's why I thought I'd tell my monkey to tell the monkey story. So.
Oh, well, Vernon, thank you, man.